trouble anywhere. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so
you do have your Bible open, don't you, to the brief but so valuable New Testament book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. God gives to us all His strong, sure, sacred, secure, positive power promise that Jesus will come again to take all who trust in Him off this sad, mad, bad news planet up yonder into His highest heaven. Now, we're going to see much of that subject in these Bible promises, and it's no surprise that today some pseudo-Christian cults copycat these promises, and they succeed in confusing many minds as to the true coming of Jesus Himself. But don't be misled by the mistakes of their Bible ignorance. Jesus will come again, whatever other people do or don't do. You know, it always fascinates me that we can put men and women up in a space capsule and we can send them out yonder to circle the moon and come back. We can send space capsules out to land or to bypass the planets in our system, and then profoundly, proudly deny the Bible's prediction of the Creator God doing it too, only better. Now that, my friends, is not honest science. It is simple, remarkable rebel refusal of facts. But the Bible says Jesus will come. He will lift off the planet those who belong to Him. And by the way, He doesn't need a capsule or a rocket to do it. Now, the last time we looked at this passage, 2 Thessalonians 2:2, we saw this phrase, the day of the Lord. Some versions say the day of Christ, but the original New Testament Greek text says the day of the Lord. Now, it's important because the day of Christ and the day of the Lord are two distinct and separate future events, and both are vital to believers in Jesus, and by the way, to you who are unbelievers, they're vital too. Both events are in these verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, I think maybe I should begin by reading those verses to you again, and if you have a Bible, well, you can join in and read them with me. This is 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we ask you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that you not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled as though the day of the Lord had come. And then he goes on to say, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day. That's another way of saying the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord is distinct from the day of Jesus Christ, and I want to first discuss the day of Jesus Christ with you. That's a technical term also. That day will happen when Jesus, number one, comes to remove His church off the earth into heaven, and number two, when He reviews at the Bema, that is the judgment seat of Christ, all the works of believers on earth. That is, when Jesus tests your works and mine who belong to Him. Not to judge us and to hell or whatever, but to reward faithful living for Him with crowns and thrones and with His, I think, the most important of all, well done, good and faithful servant. The day of Jesus Christ is in many passages, and I want to show those to you in the New Testament. For instance, like these. quote, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall all stand before the bema of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, to give account, to receive for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Each one's work will be opened, declared, revealed, tested by the fiery eye of the truth of the Lord. And Paul said, I have fought the good fight. He's about to die for Jesus. He said, I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me, here it is, in that day. And not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. So that's the day of the of Jesus Christ. Paul spoke a lovely word to the Philippian Christians, Christians living in the town of Philippi. They loved Paul, they loved the Lord, and they loved Paul who told them about the Lord. And they stood with him in the gospel, prayed for him, gave to support him. By the way, even when he was in jail and he wasn't doing a whole lot for the gospel, they prayed for him, sacrificed to support him with their gifts. And he told these beloved brothers and sisters, I have you in my heart. It's a very lovely phrase. He encouraged them to keep on going, growing, and loving, living, giving for Jesus and his great, amazing grace and good news to this sad, mad, bad news world. And his encouragements, by the way, they just come right on down and encourage you and me too. And he wrote these words to encourage us to live fully, faithfully for Jesus and his gospel until Jesus comes for us. Now, I want to borrow Paul's loving heartbeat to say it to you too, some of you who so faithfully pray for me in this little broadcast, some of you who stand with us and even sacrificially give to help me preach the Word of God. Here's what Paul said. I echo it and say it to you too. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship, that is your partnership, that is your common cause in the gospel from the first day until now, confident that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until, watch it now, the day of Jesus Christ. That's the day when your works and mine for him are going to be reviewed and recognized and rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Did you see that? Until the day of Jesus Christ. He said it to the Thessalonians too, right here now, back in Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We ask you, brothers, and by the way, he means sisters too, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, our gathering together to him, that you not be soon shaken as though the day of the Lord had come. You see it, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. That's the day of Christ, when all believers are taken into heaven to meet Jesus. Then he writes of the day of the Lord, that the day of the Lord, he said, don't be shaken about the day of the Lord. That is different than the day of Christ. The day of the Lord is when Jesus will come to open his just judgments on all who hate and hinder and hurt his people. And by the way, it's about time, don't you think? Today, right this minute, as we speak, all over this sorry, sin-sick planet, Christians are suffering and dying just for loving and living for Jesus Christ. Mark it out. Your news people won't tell it to you. Very seldom is it made known. But it's happening all over the planet. In nations where they hate Christianity and hate Jesus Christ and hate Christians, they're causing terrific, terrible persecutions and slaughter to those who belong to Jesus. Never forget this. God sees them all, every single one. They depart into heaven when they die through that dark door of death. And our blessed Lord Jesus says to them up yonder, welcome, well done, good and faithful servant. But down here, he says to all those who helped kill them, Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Now remember, it's how 2 Thessalonians opens. In chapter 1, God's promise to all who know Jesus, God's absolute power promise is this: Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all who trouble his people, who ignore his gospel. Now, we're going to see more about that further in this important chapter. But listen, now we ask you, brothers, Paul says, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together to him, he's going to catch us up off the planet, that you not be soon troubled or shaken in mind as if from us, as though the day of the Lord had come. Paul told these people the day of the Lord with its awesome great tribulation, Jesus' judgments had not come. And my brother, my sister, that day still has not come. But it will. In fact, it can any instant when Jesus comes to take his church up. Now, there's some vital facts about the day of the Lord in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 2 that I want to give to you briefly. Why is there a day of the Lord? Well, it begins with judgment. Now, I want to slip this in here. The day of the Lord mostly is a joyous, blessed day. It's 1,000 years of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ in person on the planet, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. But he begins it with the dark midnight judgments to stop the evil and the error that's on the planet. You know, that's why we can't have a utopian society. It's why we can't have a golden millennial kingdom, because of the evil and the error that's on the planet. So he's got to start by cleaning house. He's got to put a stop to all that first. Then we'll have 1,000 years of the day of the Lord of blessing and beauty and bounty, such as this world and this earth has never seen. That's why I don't worry about ecological and environmental issues, my dear friends. Jesus is going to renovate the planet, and he'll make the desert blossom like the rose. So why does he have the judgments in the day of the Lord? Well, God will repay all who trouble his people. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Count on it. Number two, when is the day of the Lord? That's 2 Thessalonians 1:7, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Who brings the day of the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior will then become the judge. Today he's the Savior. You can still be saved, my dear friend. You need to be, because if you die like you are, you go into judgment. Or if Jesus comes and you're still lost, the chances are you've never heard the gospel. I mean, if you've heard the gospel, the chances are you're going to set your heart in stone against him. So come to Jesus while he's still the Savior, before he becomes the judge. And then also, what is the day of the Lord? It's 1,000 years of blessings unparalleled. Jehovah Jesus reigning in person is the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lord God omnipotent himself. But first, that wonderful 1,000 years of the day of the Lord must begin with 7 awesome, terrifying judgment years Jesus called the tribulation, the great one. Judgments to stop all spiritual, moral, social error and evil on a rebel planet Earth. Now, what is that time of great tribulation judgment going to be like? It's only going to be 7 years, but it's going to be awesome, friend. You don't want to be hanging around here when that happens. Listen to what it says. The Bible calls it a day of terror, Isaiah 2. Destruction from the Almighty, wrath of the Lord, the day of his fierce anger, the day of grief, desperate sorrow, Isaiah 17, the Lord will come with fury, rebuke, flames of fire. The Lord will judge all flesh, Isaiah 66. Alas, the day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord is coming, a day of gloominess, thick darkness. The day of the Lord is very terrible. That day, says the Lord God, I will make like mourning for an only son, a bitter day on all nations. That day is a day of trouble, distress, devastation, desolation, because they sinned against the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Once more I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations. I will overthrow. I will destroy kingdoms. Behold, the day is coming, burning as an oven. All the proud who do evil will be stubble. The day coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. But, listen carefully, but to you who fear my name, the Son, S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, shall arise with healing in his wings. The end of the Revelation, the end of the whole Bible, he says, the bright and morning star will come. They will come to the desire of all nations. That's Jesus, friends. And he says, I will fill this temple with glory. In this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. That one thing that escapes the grasp of man inside him and outside him, peace. Jesus said, I will give peace. Jesus gives his loving grace warnings too. Sober warnings, dear friend. I read them to you because Jesus said them, and you need to be aware of it. Warn, because you don't want to be in these judgments. Here's what Jesus said. Then will be the tribulation, the great one, such as has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The sun will be darkened, the moon give no light. Asteroids will fall from heaven. They'll plummet to the earth. And I mean, they'll make that thing in Arizona where you got a mile-wide asteroid crater, and they'll make that look like small potatoes, all right? The powers of heaven will be shaken. All tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So Jesus said, you be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not expect him. Watch, you do not know the day or hour when the Son of Man is coming. And Peter said it too. Jesus, who is now the Savior, is coming then as the judge. Listen, 2 Peter 3, in the last days, scoffers will come, walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as they have since creation. They're willingly ignorant that this sinner-run world once perished by flood, as God promised, just as the word of God said it would, and that by the same word of God, the heavens and the earth are now reserved for heaven until the day of judgment on ungodly men. Peter says, beloved, do not forget one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. God's not in a hurry. It's only been 2 days since Jesus left the planet on his calendar and his clock, but he is coming. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise to judge the world, but is long-suffering to usward, that is to you and to me, not willing that anyone perish, but that all come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, unexpected and destroying. The heavens will pass away with great noise. The elements will melt with superheat. The earth and its works will be burned up. The heavens on fire will be dissolved. Elements will melt with superheat. He says it twice. Now, are you getting the picture here? For 7 dark years, Jesus will open his righteous wrath on earth to call a forced halt to all the spiritual, moral, social evil and errors in rebels who refuse to come to him and be saved. They hope to escape facing him. 2 events will show them absolutely wrong. One is death. All who refuse Jesus the Savior face Jesus the Judge. Number 2, all who refuse Jesus faces judgments on earth in the day of the Lord. All who hear and refuse him now will then be set in their own unbelief, forever lost. Think about Peter's words. He didn't know 19 centuries ago about elements melting and superheat or the skies dissolving. But you and I know that, don't we? We know about nuclear fission and thermonuclear atomic superheat and dissolving ozone layers. Peter knew it 1,900 years ago. He didn't know what it was all about. Probably had a hard idea grasping it. In fact, he probably couldn't grasp it. But think about this, my unbelieving friend. How could he know and write about this stuff that was only recently discovered? The only way he could is if God told him those unknown then, unknown truths. And Peter wrote them down accurately. They have come to pass in your generation and mine. Believe it. Consider it carefully. Because, listen, if Peter's fiery facts are accurate, so will be the awesome, angry judgments he wrote about in the day of the Lord. They'll be accurate, too. You can't have one and not the other. Paul wrote a major warning also here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's vital to us believers to know this because we live in the last days, friends, and we know lost people, some in our family. Lost people who have heard and still reject the gospel. Now listen, if they refuse Jesus, they are in danger of being forever lost when Jesus comes. Remember, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10, it is righteous for God to repay with tribulation those who trouble his own. When the Lord Jesus is revealed, that's the revelation of Jesus Christ from heaven, with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all who know not God, who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who will be punished with everlasting destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Now, God's warnings leave without excuse, without escape, without exception all who hear and refuse his great amazing grace, good news of great joy you hear it every Christmas. Good news of great joy to all people, the Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. God's last written word to us all in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And there he describes in vivid detail his judgments on this earth. In that day, in the great day of the Lord, in the great day of his wrath. When the church is gone, first there will be a brief pseudo-peace on earth, ruled by Satan's Antichrist. Then all hell on earth is going to break loose as Jesus opens up his righteous judgments. There'll be worldwide war, famine, death, Hades, sun and moon all black and bloody, myriads of asteroids hitting the earth, the sky's atmosphere rolling up like a scroll, worldwide super seismic shaking of the whole earth out of place. And when these judgments happen, all rebels on the earth, the rulers, that is the kings, the presidents, the prime ministers, the great, the rich, the mighty, all the slaves, all the free men, rich and poor alike, will hide in rocks and mountains, will cry out, not to God. Mark it out, my dear friends, not to God. They'll cry out. They've heard about the Lamb of God, but they're going to cry out to the mountains and the rocks. That's Mother Earth turning on them, friends. Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on heaven's throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? These seven dark years will be that day of stark terror on earth when Jesus himself at last says it's enough, opens his wrath against all who deny and defy him. Especially, friends, those who have heard and rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. But remember it well. To all who know Jesus, God says it, Paul wrote it, rest with us. Wait for Jesus and keep on praying, being Jesus witnesses down here. Well, you know, we're not finished yet. Will the church be in the great tribulation? We're going to see that answered pretty well next time. I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? Have you come to him yet? Simply say to him, Lord Jesus, I trust in you. And he'll come into your life, forgive your sins, make you God's newborn child instantly and forever. Why don't you do that right now?
He'll save you too. And then you write me, will you? Don Rhodes, Bible Line, P.O. Box 1300, Paradise, California, 95967. You who love the Lord Jesus, pray for me. Will you help us preach Jesus on and beyond this good station? He's the one that the world needs to know about. Pray for us. Please write today. Include a generous check if you can. And if you write right now, in a day or two, I'll hear from you. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. Bibleline, P.O. Box 1300, Paradise. Make the check to Bibleline, P.O. Box 1300, Paradise, California 95967. Bibleline, Box 1300, Paradise, California 95967. You who love the Lord Jesus, stand with us. Look me up on the web, www.bibleline.net. These studies are there for you and someone you love, bibleline.net. I'll be back with Bibleline. You meet me then, bring a friend. We'll do it again. I'm going to look for you. Until then, I'm Don Rhodes. Keep looking up, up, up to Jesus. I commend you to God and to the word of His grace.
More about Jesus, let me learn. More of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher, be showing the things of Christ to me. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love would I for me.
Bibleline Radio is sponsored by Know the Lord Ministries.
What the Cross Means to Me is brought to you in part by Chico Dental Arts. Whether you're looking for cosmetic procedures or general dental services, look no further than Chico Dental Arts. They provide quality dental services here in Chico and the surrounding area. Their experienced dentists offer a wide array of dental care services, and their well-trained staff is committed to providing exceptional dental care in a friendly atmosphere. Welcome to another edition of What the Cross Means to Me devotional program. This is your host, Rob Holt, coming to you from the KKXX Studios, Life Radio. It is good to be with you as we contemplate fresh perspectives on the meaning of the cross. I am not a theologian, but have been a photographer for over 30 years. If a picture tells 1,000 words, then yes, I guess you could say I preach to the glory of our Creator by capturing and sharing what the Creator has created. My mission is to share the gospel through my imagery, the spoken word, and the written word. This program fulfills the spoken part, and the imagery utilized for this devotional are of a singular cross on a lonely hill shot over a 2-year period. The written word for this program is from a book I published about that cross collection. It matches 30 cross images with 30 original essays from a wide spectrum of Christian leaders sharing their insights on the cross. The book shares the same name as the program, What the Cross Means to Me. Each week, we explore one of these cross images and ponder the wider meaning of the cross through the lens of Scripture. This week's devotional is inspired by the image entitled The Beginning. Now, I did share a devotional on that image a few weeks ago. However, today I'm going to share a devotional, what I call The Full Beginning. This is an excerpt from a new book that I'm writing. It'll be the second in the series of cross images and devotional essays. And this will be part one of that chapter. The first half will be today. I'll share the second half next week. And with that, let's start The Full Beginning, part one.